right, guys. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. And good morning. Good morning, guys. We are starting a new series of messages here at Bethel. So you actually picked a great Sunday if this is your first time here at Bethel. It's called Created to Worship. Created to Worship. How many of you guys like to worship God? About 20 of you. That's why we're doing the series. That's great. That's wonderful. And just to let you know in the very beginning that worship is not like going to a concert. Coming to church is different. This is not a Taylor Swift concert. This is not like going to see Jay-Z and Beyonce. As glorious as that may sound to some of you, there's something uniquely different when you worship an almighty God. Some of you who have been to some of these concerts or some other type of concert, you notice there's something different when you begin to worship God. There's a different environment. There's a different feel. And it's really spiritual. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Psalm chapter 22 and verse 3. It talks about, I'm just going to paraphrase some of this, and you're going to need a Bible today. I've got a lot of Bible for you. If you don't have a Bible, you can use your digital Bible. If you have not downloaded the Holy Bible app on your phone, do yourself a great service and go ahead and download it while I'm talking, because we need the Word of God in this day and age. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And if you don't like to read, it will read to you if you make it. But there's something uniquely different. It talks about in Psalm 22 verse 3 about really how God is enthroned in our praises. Or another way of saying that, people have said, is that He inhabits the praises of His people. Now, Taylor Swift doesn't inhabit your praises. Jay-Z and Beyonce, as much as they would like to, are not enthroned in your praises. But it says, wherever, this is just some notes I have, it says, wherever God's people come together to worship, we become the habitation for His presence. There's something uniquely different about when you either come to a church like this, and the great thing about worshiping God is it doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. You can worship God at 3 o'clock in the morning if you can't sleep. You can worship God on the way to work. You can worship God in the shower. And we're going to have a series of messages all about how we are created to worship Him. And just like any good pastor, I have a challenge for you. And you probably haven't been directly challenged, been challenged face to face by a pastor in a long time. So here comes the challenge. Are you ready? All right, Cody, thank you. All right, and the little piece of paper that you got when you came through the door, it looks like this. It's got all of these different apps on it. We're going to have a Created to Worship 30-day challenge. And the challenge is very difficult for many of us. I listen to a lot of talk radio, just enough to make you mad. And a lot of times we listen to everything else except worship to God, things that can really make our relationship with God stronger. Most of the time we listen to things that only make us mad at the world around us. But this simple challenge is most of you, about 98% of you have a smartphone, if you have a phone. And the challenge is, if you don't have some of these apps on here to download, you can get free music of almost any genre. That's a type of music that you can listen to. Some of us listen to Hillsong, and we love some Hillsong. But some of us need a little Christian hip-hop music, because that's just the way that we're bent. Some of us like traditional gospel, and some of us like country hymns. You can find all of these different types of worship music on some of these apps. Like, one of my favorites is iHeartRadio, because I can get radio stations from all over the nation. And I love Hallelujah FM, Pastor Lance. Hallelujah FM. This is 95.7 out of Memphis, Tennessee. Also, because we are a church of diversity, we also know that you probably are bent towards a certain style of worship that you really, really like. What I would also challenge you to do inside of this is listen to another style of worship. Now, Hallelujah FM is all about contemporary black gospel music. And it just gets me excited. But a lot of us, we probably have never heard that music, let alone an entire radio station built around it. Now, in my house, we got a lot of diversity going on. None of my kids look like each other. And so we have to be good stewards of what we introduce them to. So we don't want them to only listen to one style of music. So we introduce different forms of worship music into our home. And so we were looking around for a black gospel station in Clarksville. You know what? There's not one. And if there is one in Nashville, you know what? You can't pick it up. And so we're like, well, what are we going to do? This is a part of their culture. It's a part of their history. And so iHeartRadio solves the problem. And so we would challenge you to do that over the next 30 days. Who wants to take the challenge? All right, 50 of you. Thank you. Awesome. All right. Now, there's something different about what worship is. We're going to get in and break that down in a minute, but just a few points about worship. Worship involves surrendering our lives, the surrendering of our lives over to God. Now, most men in here, about 90 to 100% of men would say, we don't like to surrender anything. It's extremely difficult for us to do that. But what worship does is when you surrender your life over to Christ, He gives you a new life, a better life. Second thing is worship is putting our focus on Jesus and not on our problems and not on our situations. Worship involves us getting out of the way. And if you're a lot like me, then you know that when you put your hands in a situation without the wisdom, without the counsel of God, we can make a hot mess of almost anything really, really fast. It goes from like zero to hot mess in like 3.2 seconds. And the next thing is that worship involves personal sacrifice. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Last one is that worship is celebrating who God is and what He has done for us. You know, as you look up the definition of worship, you see two things. One, worship is a noun. It's kind of like we are going to a worship service. But much more than that, worship is a verb. It means that it is an action word. When you come to church or when you are in the presence of an almighty God, it requires some sort of action on our behalf. Now, when I first started going to church many years ago, I went to our Bethel church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And one of the first times I came to the church, it was really kind of weird for me. I grew up as a little kid going to church, but about the age of 9 or 10, we stopped going, and then I show up at this church at about the age of 25. And I noticed something that was very different. It's a lot like this church. There were a lot of happy people. They all smiled, they all looked nice, and they were all happy to say that they were glad to see me. And it was really weird. All these men started hugging me and said they were glad I was there. I thought it was a weird church. It's like, my daddy don't hug me, why are you hugging me? And I noticed something after a while. The music was different than what I was used to. I'd never really listened to Christian music, so I actually thought that Pastor Ron wrote every song that they sang on Sunday morning. I said, these guys are really good. Man, how did they come up with these lyrics? Like, they're geniuses. They need to be somewhere else in Murfreesboro. And what happened after the first couple of visits, they gave me this little CD of the worship music that we listened to on Sunday morning. And so I had basically about 13 plus years of listening to hardcore rap music day in and day out. And not the Christian rap music. This was like the old, bad, gangster, hip, all that stuff that's not good. You don't want your kids coming close to. And so my mind was polluted with bad stuff. And if you didn't know how powerful music is, music can shape the way you see the world. I mean, to this day, if you say a couple of choice words, it's going to trigger some old school rap music. Some of you that know me know I am quick. I will bust a rhyme in a minute. Watch out now. There's a rap song that goes with that somewhere. So I started listening to this CD of worship music that we had from church. And this is CDs that I'm listening to. Now, this is before Bluetooth. This is kind of old. This is modern, old school. And I had a commute from Murfreesboro to Nashville every single day. And I worked in downtown Nashville. So my commute was 45 minutes to an hour one way. And I just listened to nothing but this worship music. And actually listening to this worship music led me closer to Christ, to where I actually gave my life to Him. And as I began to listen to this over the weeks, same CD over and over again, I began to sing these songs. And it started to give me faith in God. And I remember one day I was stuck in traffic, I-24 to Nashville. It's horrible. And I was listening to this song and I began to cry. And the reality of how much Jesus loved me and how God's presence could be close to me, I was overwhelmed. And it was in those moments I began to worship God in the car. And worshiping God began to change my heart and begin to break down the hard places in my life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Amen. Worship is the key to changing everything about you. And just to let you know, we are created to worship. It's the way God designed us to be. I've got another scripture in Romans chapter 12. If you could go there in your Bibles, it'll be on the screen for you as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul is writing this book of the Bible, and he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy." Many of you guys have probably heard what I'm about to say. But it says, "to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, I've read this before, but over the course of this week, that middle line just kind of stuck out to me. That we are called to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, I used to do a lot of human research at the club when I didn't know Jesus. That's what we'll call it today. A lot of research and human behavior at the club. And I noticed something, that there were a lot of people worshiping at the club. Maybe none of you guys have ever been to a place like that, but I've been to places where I've seen people worship music, alcohol, and the opposite sex, and sometimes the same sex, at the same place. They were worshiping. And many of us in this room have offered up our bodies as living sacrifices to other things other than Jesus. And God created us to worship. He created us so that we would be beings that would offer up praises to Him. I believe that's why we have a mouth. That's why we can speak. That's why He gave us arms. That's why He gave us breath. The Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Some of you guys may not be aware of this, but way back in the day, they used to call black pastors God's trumpeteers, because of the way they preached the word of God. The word "preach" means to herald. So the way they would herald the word of God, it was like an instrument. And we are created by God to be like an instrument that will worship Him. That's why we can sing. You ever notice we can do some really bad things with our mouth? Mouth ever gets you in trouble? Say amen. But you know what? It wasn't designed to do that. We were designed to give praise to God. That's why there's something that happens internally when you begin to open your mouth and sing out loud. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For He is good. For He is worthy. For He is worthy of our praise." See, something happens when you begin to do that. It's like everything else I'm thinking about begins to fade away. And I begin to put my attention on Him. But we are created to worship. You know, I noticed something a couple of weeks back when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Any Cubs fans? There you go. You get proud of that. You're like, "Here we are." Like, "Yeah, we told you after 100 years we was going to be in it." Now, I got this photograph of these Chicago Cubs fans. I want you to see this. Look at these guys. This is hardcore Chicago Cubs fans at the moment that they won the World Series. Now, this looks like a cool photo, but what you see is really styles of worship. You see this guy clapping his hands. You see people screaming. You see people shouting. You see people raising their hands. So imagine if your favorite football team in the fourth quarter, down by 1 point, and they kick the game-winning 50-yard field goal. What would your response be? You would be like, it's good. It's good. Well, a lot of that looks like church, doesn't it? You know what it's really funny is how we can be so expressive and so excited about certain things outside of this building. But when we walk through these doors, God is good. Right? But let your team win. Let you get that big check in the mail on Publishers Clearing House. Let something great. Let you get that big raise you've been waiting on, or that promotion, or let you get married or something else. Anything good that happens out there, we get excited, we get expressive, and that's all because God put all that in you to do that. But it wasn't designed for that. It was designed to worship Him. Somebody say amen. Now, here's the thing. Not everybody's going to get all crazy and ridiculous like I would. Some people are going to be a little bit more mild-mannered. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, we're going to take a look at what is the first showing of worship that we see in the Bible. If God created us for it, it's always important to go back and look at what does the Bible mean by that? Because when we say the word worship, a lot of us have a lot of different connotations for that word. For some of us, it's coming here and watching people sing songs to us. For some of us, it could mean this, and for some of us, it could mean that. But let's look at what the Bible says about this thing that we were created to do. It's in Genesis chapter 22. Can you open your Bibles to that page for me? Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. And just to let you know, this is God did a miracle. He let two 90-year-old people have a baby. And this baby was a promised child. His name was Isaac, and Abraham had waited a long time for the promised son. God gave him a really big promise. He said that you will be the father of many nations. But then God did something that kind of flipped the script. He said, I want you to sacrifice your son. So in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, we see that Abraham said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. They were going up the mountain in an act of obedience to God. And it says, we will worship. Then we will come back to you. And we notice something that's very peculiar and interesting. As they walked up the mountain, the boy said, Daddy, where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? Unbeknownst to him, his daddy was about to obey God. But what we get from this verse is that the word worship means sacrifice. It means that something must be killed or something must die so that God can get worship. That's why I said earlier that we are living sacrifices. God doesn't want you to kill yourself, but he wants you to die to yourself. That means that you've got your own dreams, your own ideas, your way of doing things. You might be tired, but you still are called to worship God. That's why the Apostle Paul, that's why King David in Psalms, he was oh my soul, bless the Lord, and all that was within me. Because there's times when you don't feel like worshiping God. There's times when worshiping God can be really hard. Somebody say amen. We always don't have those mountaintop experiences where everything goes good. Everything's great. Nobody ever pulls out in front of traffic in your life. Nobody ever does this. That's great if that happens to you, but we live in reality where bad things happen. And Abraham was going through one of these experiences. He learned what worship was when he was tested. When he was tested. He was placed in a situation where his loyalty to God was tested. Maybe you've faced that kind of situation before. He faced a situation where he could either try to hold on to his dreams or give up on his dreams in an effort to honor and worship God. He was challenged to give up the only thing that he really desired. And I just have to ask that question. What is the one thing that you truly desire? What is the one thing that you've been hoping for, praying for, believing God for that doesn't have anything to do with God? And now imagine God asking you to give it up. Would you hold on to it, or would you give it up to worship him? So you're beginning to see the difference, how worship is not just coming in here and sitting still, is it? Worship is something that begins in the heart and always works itself out. Maybe for you, worship is dried up because a dream didn't come true. Maybe you, even though you come to church, you know that you're holding back. I believe that's the word of God for some of you. Even though you're here, you're not all the way here with us. It's like my wife sometimes, Pastor Lance. Be there hanging out, watching TV. She's like, you're not here with us, are you? Like, no, I'm thinking about everything else I got to do. And for some of you, you are coming to church, but you're not really here with us. And part of that could be because maybe you didn't get that answered prayer years ago. Maybe you have allowed situations to quench your desire to worship God. Everybody say, ooh. Worship reminds us that there is someone bigger than our problems and our struggles. Worship allows us to take our fear and uncertainty to a place of where we can find hope. Many times, worship involves a physical expression. Many of you guys may not be aware, but all through the Bible, there are multiple types of expressions of worship. For example, kneeling, clapping your hands. Some of you go into a church like, this is weird. Why are they doing all that clapping? This is a form of worship. Why are they raising their hands? All of this is biblical. And you were, by the way, designed to do this. Singing hymns or songs, weeping and crying. Sometimes you may not be the most boisterous person, but when you come to a service like this, you sense and perceive the presence of God, and you just begin to weep and cry. You are worshiping God in that moment. Don't hold that back. Also, did you know that laughing can be sometimes a form of worship? You can get the holy giggles. Just God just reminds you that it's all good. I got your back. And you're like, that's just ridiculous, God. I'm going to laugh. And it's okay to do that. Also, there's this word called prostrating. Men got scared really quick. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It means laying down physically before God. You love that, don't you? Also, dancing before God. Some of you guys can't dance, but you know what? Before God, you think you can dance. All of these things are examples, and I just want to give you a very quick overview of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In this one chapter, you see 11 types or styles or forms of expression of worship. And to set this up for you, there were three completely different armies that were coming out against the nation of Israel. And the king, his name was Jehoshaphat. I mean, you want to name your kid Jehoshaphat. Sergio? You're going to name your next child Jehoshaphat. We'll call him Fat for short. Joe Fat. So King Jehoshaphat, man, this is a national emergency. Three completely opposed armies were coming to annihilate them and wipe them off the map. This is what Jehoshaphat did. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat responded by calling a fast. Now, this is a type of worship as well. Now, fasting, if you're not aware of this, The biblical word to fast means to not eat for the purpose of seeking God for something. So he called a fast for the entire nation. And after he proclaimed this fast, one of the men of God stood up and said, this is what the Lord says in verse 15. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Verse 17 says, you will not have to fight this battle. How many of you wish you could just quit, stop fighting all the battles you've been facing? Okay, well, maybe you don't have any battles. God can take all my battles then. He said, take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then something very interesting happened. Three armies about to destroy you, and the leader of the people, in verse 18, it says, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. How many enemies can you see coming with your face to the ground? That tells me he was not concerned with the armies that were coming out against him. He put his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, everybody fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And it says, then the Levites who were the priests, they stood up and they began to praise God with a very loud voice. Now, some of you guys, if we started talking in loud voices, you'd be thinking, what the heck are these people doing? This is biblical. I'll turn over real quick. And it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. This is just a little quick point, but God loves it when men praise him. Men, if you're not praising God, you're not really doing what you were created to do. You will worship your jobs. You will worship legal tender of the United States of America. But until you have started worshiping God, you're not doing what you were created to do. It says, sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness. Verse 22 says, they begin to sing and praise. And watch this after the comma. While they're in the middle of praising God, the enemy is approaching. It says, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Now, this is one of the most interesting things, and to me, one of the most powerful things about worship. In verse 23 and verse 24, it says, the Ammonites and the Moabites, these are two of the armies, they rose up against the men from Mount Seir, that's the third army, to destroy and annihilate them. Now remember, all three were coming to get Israel, but they began to fight each other instead. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy each other. Verse 24, when the men of Judah came to that place that overlooks the desert, and looked out towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. You know what this tells me? That you've got some problems, some struggles. You've got forces that are out to get you. One of the last things we naturally want to do is bow down and begin to worship God. But it's only in that posture. It's only when we do what we were created to do. Whether it's singing out loud, whether it's lifting up your hands, and you don't have to just do this at church. Maybe for some of you, you just need to go in the closet. Say, God, this is too much. The enemy is approaching my house. The enemy is approaching my body. The enemy is attacking my mind. And you can try as much as you want to fight back. But you find out really quick how weak we are when we start fighting things out of our own strength. Instead, you might just need to get down on your knees, lift up your hands and say, God, this is too much. You are so much bigger than all my problems. You're so much bigger than all my fears. Some of you might need to just start singing some of these worship songs and allow God to fight your battles. Allow Him to set ambushes around your enemy. And watch your enemies begin to destroy themselves. You know, the greatest part about this is at the very end of it. It says in verse 25, so Jehoshaphat and his men, this is after they found all the dead bodies. The armies are gone. The men went to carry off their plunder. That's the treasure that they found among the great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. They thought they were going to be destroyed, but they got blessed. That is the God that we serve. When we worship Him, we put our trust in Him. Nothing is stronger than our God. One last Bible verse. If He is for you, who can be against you? If you could stand up with me for a minute. Strong. The challenge is to begin to change your lifestyle over the next 30 days by worshiping God. For some of you, the Holy Spirit has already indicated areas in your life that you are worshiping something other than Him. For many of us, this might just be instead of ESPN radio, we put on worship music. For some of us, this might mean where the kids start acting a fool, we put on worship music. Kids will act a fool, won't they? This might be a complete change of pace or style for you. But our God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And you are His people if you put your trust in Christ. He will fight your battles for you. Amen.
Amen. Father, we love You. Lord, I thank You, Lord. As Pastor Richard has said, Lord, I believe that this series and these moments, God, You're going to reignite our relationship with You. I know that there's some in this room that would say, my relationship with God is dry. I don't feel like it's there. But all things are changing as we begin to turn down other things and to begin to allow You to turn up Your voice in our life. And we get our focus off those things and onto You. Lord, You're going to ignite our relationship with You like never before. God, we say, let the fire start right now.
Good.
God, we simply say, God, we receive the fire of heaven, Lord, to ignite our relationship with You like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap.